Scripture reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 to 9 and verse 15. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land. And there was no man to work the ground. And a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden of Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and keep it. This is the word of God.
Good morning, church. My name is Jackson, one of the pastors here, and today it is a privilege to be bringing to you God's word. Shall we come before the Lord in prayer? Dear God, may you bless the time that we have, that this will be a time that we look upon you and your word, to hear from you and your Holy Spirit, to look at you, Lord Jesus, as an example for our lives. And may we learn from you, and may you bless the time we have together in worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, I'm going to continue in the series. We just started on this new series last Sunday. This will be a series of four sermons. From last week, Pastor Sriman was sharing with us on marriage. So today, it will be on manhood. Next week, Elder Sokin will be sharing on womanhood. And then, after that, on singlehood. There will be this part of this series of four sermons. This is also part of our pillars of AMKPC on strong marriage and family. Of course, we are also as a church responding as we look back in last year with the legalization of the SSA, the removal of the 377A. We also hope from all this we are able to provide Christian perspectives of understanding of biblical marriages and biblical sex. And in fact, we will also have two seminars in the month of April today. After service, we'll have one. And following in June, we'll have another with the understanding of sexuality and reaching the sexually broken. So as I say, today, I'll be covering on God's design on manhood, or simply put, biblical manhood. And I entitled this sermon as To Be a Better Man. And if you know, this is actually taken from a title from a song by the British singer Robbie Williams. Has he sang this song, Better Man, in year 2000? And the chorus of the song goes like this, and I sing for you. He says, as my soul heals the shame, I will grow through this pain. Lord, I'm doing all I can to be a better man. You know, this is one of my favorite songs to sing at karaoke. Now, I read in articles that when Robbie Williams wrote this song in the year 2000 and sang it, there was this part, see, in the chorus, he says that he was growing through a pain. And reporters say that it was a time when he was going through a life of sins and struggles, of addiction and alcoholism, and even womanizing. But Robbie Williams, at that point of life, wants to turn his life around. And so he wrote this song to cry out to God, saying, Lord, no, I'm doing all I can to be a better man. But what exactly is a better man? You know, what is a better man according to God when Robbie Williams cries out to the Lord? Or how we cry out to God on how we are to be better men. Of course, as I talk about to be a better man on biblical manhood, I'm specifically talking to the brothers here, the men. But does that mean that the ladies can all now go out and have an early, you know, break and all that? So ladies, stay with us. I hope you stay with us because I hope that you also can learn something from today's message. For the single ladies, for example, what kind of man would you be looking for one day, right? Would it be a better man? Or even for the married ladies, how then can you be praying for your man? I'll move to my first point. My first point is the man of the world. Okay, the outline is also in your bulletin, in your electric digital bulletin. So the man of the world. The man of the world refers to the men who are from the world and belongs to the world. Jesus once spoke to the Jews. He says that you are of this world, I am not of this world. And that was John chapter 8, verse 23. Now Jesus, as he addressed to the Jews, he was telling them that they were from this world, but the bottom line is, Jesus is not from this world, okay? So the people of the world are the people of the world. So in a sense, the men of the world belonging here in the world are the men of the world. But what is this man of the world like? How does the world define manhood as? You know, sometimes when I watch Hong Kong documentaries, right? Well, every time they see a very manly man, the ladies will go, wow, whole man, you saw that in Hong Kong documentary? Whole man, whole means very, very man. They make some English there. Whole man, okay? So let me go through some pictures and we see whether we have the same response of, wow, whole man, okay? Let's try, Okay, is this man? Wow, whole man. How about this? Wow. Whole man. This is Arnold Schwarzenegger in the movies Commando in the 1990s. Okay, how about this? Maybe more for today. Wow, whole man. Talented, popular, good looking, very man. Or earlier for Arnold Schwarzenegger, muscular, powerful, military. Wow, whole man. Is that how it was? How about this? A handyman, talented, skillful, dependent, useful to have around. Wow, whole man. Hey, do you know when in polytechnic, I went for engineering course, and the fact was I was lousy with math. Okay, and the reason I went for engineering because I was clueless about what engineering is about math lah. But I signed up for engineering in polytechnic because I thought engineering was a man course, you know? So that I want to be handyman like this, you know, that can fix things, you know, fix lights and fix fans and fix aircon and fridges, that kind of thing. Yeah. Then I realized in year 2, it's all about math, it's not my forte. So I'm glad the Lord led me away from engineering in the end. Oh, how about this? Wow, successful and rich, able to afford a lavish lifestyle. Wow, whole man. But is that really what we look for in a man? Is that how we define as manhood? But it appears to be that the man of the world is viewed in the world to be that powerful, muscular, right? Rich, famous, good-looking, talented, popular, right? And we think that somehow that's the kind of man that I want to be, isn't it? Right? And, you know, the man of the world is also taught to follow after our own hearts. You know, if you watch television or even in animes, sometimes the cartoons, they are indoctrinating this message to us that you can do what you want. If you follow your heart, you can be who you want to be. Do what you want to do. Be with who I want to be. An example, I could say that if I'm to apply that into my life, if I want to work today and not work tomorrow, it is my freedom, you know? I can choose to do that. If I want to say what I want to say and live my life the day that I want to, it is my prerogative. It is my right of choice. If I want to love a girl today, I will follow my passion. And if I want to leave that same girl tomorrow, I will follow that passion too. You know, that really happens. I met a man who was dating this lady for 5 years. They were engaged, going to get married, sign up for BTO. And you know what? One day the man says, I think I don't love her anymore. I'm going to leave her. And the advice given to him was, follow your heart. And he left that woman. The girl was so, so devastated. Okay, so that really happened. In fact, a man who follows after his own heart will say, if I want to have an affair today, I can follow my heart's desires. In fact, a man who follows after his own heart may say, if I want to be a woman today, I can do what I feel, isn't it? Now, friends, following our own hearts can be very, very dangerous. In fact, if you really think about it, the worst definition of manhood, to follow your own heart, to look at yourself on how strong and muscular you are, depending on your skills and your success and your popularity and your looks, then this is a definition which is a very self-centered one. That means I'm looking at me. Me-centricness. It's all about me. I must look good, I must be successful, I must be popular, I must be strong, I must be muscular. And I can do anything I want, following after my own heart. You know what kind of man that will produce? A chauvinistic man. And this kind of man is a man who expects everyone to serve him. Because I am a self-defined man, this is my empire, this is my world, this is my way. I love Frank Sinatra, okay, and I listen to his music. In fact, I use Frank Sinatra's music for my wedding as well. But one of his songs, My Way, sings about his own way. There's this part of it, the song was singing about how this man is at the end of his life, and as he looks back of all the things that he has done and he has achieved and his successes, is all about him and his way. You know, he will spit the world, you know, in the face. In fact, that's part of the lyrics. Okay, and it comes to this very ending of the song. And the lyrics goes like this. What is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not the right to say the things he feel, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. Hey, not supposed to clap. I'm trying to say that this lyrics is wrong, okay? This is a lyrics that celebrates the self and the one person, the accomplishment by the strength of one person. In fact, Frank Sinatra, after he sang this song, he got famous singing this song also. But after he sang this song for many times, do you know that Frank Sinatra got sick of this song? And his daughter says this, that her dad didn't like this song, but he was stuck with him, and people love it, and he just couldn't stop singing it. But he always thought that this song was self-serving and self-indulgent. That's what Frank Sinatra himself said of this song. Someone wrote the song for him, and then he sang it and got famous. Later on, Elvis Presley also sang this song. So this kind of song, and it was so popular, and it got so famous. Oh, this is in the 1970s, by the way. And people just sing it. Like, this is my way. This is how I'm going to do it. Self-serving, self-indulgent. A man who lives this way, my friend, is all about himself. Then what about the others around him? What about the women? What about the children? And the people around him will be left unprotected. Abuse happens, and we wonder why. The man of the world follows his own heart's desires, but that leads to self-centeredness, and that is the problem. Let's go to my point two, which is the man in the world. Now, the man in the world is different from the man of the world, okay? Jesus also spoke, you know, Jesus, remember Jesus said that he's not of the world? But Jesus also in the same book of John, chapter 8, spoke to his disciples, and he says that, I do not ask that you take them out of the world. And he was praying for his disciples, not speaking to his disciples. He was praying to God for his disciples, and he says to God, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Remember earlier Jesus was saying that he was not of the world, but the Jews are, right? But now when Jesus prayed for his disciples, he says specifically in his prayer to God the Father that his disciples are not to be of the world, just as him. And so if we are not of the world, fellow disciples of Christ, then we are the man in the world. We are not of the world, but we happen to be in the world just as Jesus was. Let me continue in the passage that we have read earlier. In this passage in Genesis, it defines manhood. It defines manhood from the very beginning of creation. When God created the world, and God saw that there was a need to create mankind, and then he created the first man, Adam, and Eve was not created yet. But what was the purpose of God creating man in the first place? Here, as our sister Ekwemo has read for us earlier in Genesis chapter 2, it tells us that in this very beginning, before any bush, any small plant was on the earth, there was no rain and there was no man to work the ground. But there was a land created by the masterful hand of God, beautiful and good in God's eyes, yet without anyone to work it. You can imagine that everything was still, quiet, unmoving, and just as it is. And the Bible continues to say that there was a mist of springs of waters that waters the earth as a source of life and sustenance. You know, that comes to my mind like a garden sprinkler, no? It just comes, you know, some will spin one and then it's just water on its own. It seems like everything was automated because God was in charge. The caring and the mending of the world was taken by God himself. But the story did not end there. The story continues to say that God eventually created man, breathe life into him, and place him into the garden. Why? Everything was automated. Everything was okay under God's control. But God created man and placed him there. Why? To admire the beauty of the garden which God had created. Maybe God created, no one come and see my creation. I better create some people with will and be able to appreciate the beauty. Is that so? Is that the people, the man is supposed to be there to, wow, God, you're so great. This is what that you have done. Verse 15 gives us the answer why God created man. Verse 15 says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. To work it and keep it. Not to lay back, no, relax in the garden. Wow, paradise, better than the Mandai bird paradise. This one, wow, all the birds flying everywhere, the animals and the plants. Wow, this is so good a place for mankind to skive in. Is that what it is? No, to work it and to keep it. The Bible says specifically to work it, that we are created to work the land of which God had created. Now, to keep it means to maintain it, that God has created and man is to keep it. That God has done the heavy lifting And man's job right now is merely to keep and maintain creation. In fact, NIV translates keep it as to take care of it. And that is the biblical purpose of man, that God's design for manhood is to carry on the work of God in the caring of creation and the world. But bear this in mind, that this was a time before women was formed, so man was alone, Adam was alone, and we know from the text that only later in verse 18 that woman was created. This was the first man, Adam. His purpose was to care for creation and the earth, the land of which that God has created. He was to be God's steward in the care for creation. He has to be a leader in working and keeping creation as God's steward. And what this means is that, according to the Bible, man isn't created to skive and do nothing. And it means that if a man today refuses to work, then my brother, you have gone against God's intended purpose for man. If a man today doesn't care for the earth, then he has gone against God's definition of what a man is supposed to be. If a man today chooses to live only for himself and not for the mandate of which God has created him for, then the man has not fulfilled God's design for him. And what this means for us today is that man should work and contribute to the welfare of the world. It doesn't mean that all men are to become farmers or nature reserve rangers, okay? We can still have our jobs. But it means that whatever job we do, we must do it towards the betterment of the world. So students, before you choose your career, whatever job you do, you must do it towards the betterment of the world. You can be an economist, but you can use the data to balance society productivity with the world's resources, refine policies and laws for the sustainability of the world. You can be a trader or businessman, but use clean resources and fair employment. You can be a lawyer and you pursue justice for God's creation. You can be a salesman and sell ethical products that help improve lives. There's much a biblical man can do to work and keep and take care of the land that God has created and given into our hands. To be a better man for God is to be the biblical man who works for the betterment of the world that God has created. Earlier, I said that it is a problem that the man of the world follow his own hearts, and that leads to self-centeredness. However, the man in the world follows God and his God-given mandate to work, care, and lead God's creation. I now look at the second passage. I actually have a second passage this in the e-bulletin, but I did not ask. I want to read it because otherwise it would be too long. Now, this second passage now not looks at ambition of man, but now looks at relationships of the biblical man. It is also a very familiar passage that we just read recently. It's in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 33, and chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. And it talks about how a man is to be in relations to his family. Now, on the surface, this is a passage that's often used for marriage counseling and weddings. But it goes much further than that. It is packed with theology for the understanding of God himself and God's design for manhood. Let's take a look at it, okay? Very quickly, I'm sure you're already familiar with it because your CG, we have covered this in our CG Bible study. In verse 25, it says, husband, love your wives. Oh, romantic, lovey-dovey. Yes, I can do that. But, he adds, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Is it simply love? A romantic love? No. Because if it's just simply love, the man of the world can do that too. But as Christ loved the church, giving up of himself, this is to be a sacrificial love. Not just a love of romantic feelings and emotions. Not a love to please our own pleasure, but a love to lay down one's life. And it doesn't end. It continues, so it says, husband, love your wife. But here it's telling you what it really means and entails in loving your wife. Verse 26, that this is to be a sanctifying love with the word of God. And verse 27 continues, this is the purpose, is so that when you love your wife with the word of God, sanctifying her, that she may be presented holy. Present to who? Present to my brothers. Hey, look at my wife, man. Check her out. Holy. Is it? No. Present before God. We are to present our wives to God, that she will be holy, filled with splendor, without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. Holy and pure before God our fathers. Verse 28, again, it talks about men. Okay, right? So we love our wives as we love our own bodies. Wow, I love to eat. I will let my wife eat also. I eat durian, she must eat durian. I eat chicken, she eat chicken, right? I love my body, I keep fit. So my wife must go for IPPT and SOC with me. So we will do it together. The way I love my body, she must love. No, there will be the man of the world. Verse 29 explains, it is as Christ loves the church. How does Christ love the church? Christ is the head of the church, loving the church as his body. In other words, the Christ, the head, leads the church, the body. It's not about just loving your wives. It's about leading them. Just as Christ leads the church, a man is to lead their wives. And that is how they have to love their own bodies. Are we leading our wives the way that Christ leads the church? Verse 31. Therefore, a man shall leave the parents, hold to the father, to the wife, and becoming one through marriage or sexual relations? No. That will be the way of the world. But verse 32 says it refers to Christ. The Apostle Paul is writing about Christ and the church. Just as Christ leaves his heavenly abode away from the Heavenly Father to come lowly and humbly to serve the church and leading the church back to the Father. And just as Christ has done so, as we know in the familiar passage of Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8, that Christ has given up this equality with God, emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, born in the likeness of man, humbled himself, becoming obedient even to death on the cross. And that is how Christ loves the church. The man in the world to follow after Christ is then to love his wife sacrificially, giving up his pride and status, willing to humble himself down to serve the wife, not to please himself, not to please her, but to lead her in ways of holiness back to God the Father. Husbands, are we doing that? And he continues in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, also that the fathers are to bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Again, in a way not to lead our wives for our own pleasure, for her or hers, but to lead her to God. Men are also to lead our children not for our own pleasure or theirs, but to lead them in discipline and instruction of the Lord. And this is what it means for us today. Men, lead your family, not authoritatively, but humbly in servant leadership back to God the Father. Lead your family in the reading of God's word. Lead your family in prayers. Men, love your family, not just to please them or yourself, but to sacrifice time and energy for them. On days when they are not coming to worship, will you bring worship to them? Lead them in worship before God. Even if you cannot sing, you can worship God through music that you play in the car or at home. You can still read a psalm of praise and worship God with the words of the psalms. Lay your life down for your family, devoting time and energy to humbly bring them to Christ, and you will find your family richly blessed as you do so. The man in the world loves and leads his family to Christ, just as Christ loves and leads the church to the Father. You will see from these summary points where the man of the world is self-centered, the man of the world, or rather the man in the world, is Christ-centered. And since we are talking about Christ, Let's talk about Jesus, the man. Jesus is the ultimate example of man. If you want to talk about, wow, whole man, then I say Jesus is the one that we say, wow, whole man. Jesus came as the Son of Man to set the example for us men. Jesus is that man for us men to emulate so that we will become Christ-like men. What is Jesus the man like then? Jesus loves God. We know that Jesus and the Father has a strong relationship. And oftentimes in the Bible, Jesus will call out to Father in reliance, dependence, and prayer. The source of Jesus' strength and power comes from his relationship with the Father. There is therefore a need for us men to be reliant and dependent on God the Father and find strength and power in Father through prayer. Therefore, men, come to the Father. If we men have not been coming to the Father, the Creator who mandates us for the role we play in manhood, then there is a need for us to repent. Earlier, I tell you about Frank Sinatra, who sings about the song, about the man. And in fact, there's this line that he says, the right to say the things he feels and not the words of one who kneels, right? Because the one who kneels looks like some in defeat. But however, in the 1980s, there was a Christian rock band, and they sang this song called Get On Your Knees and Fight Like a Man. This Christian group was singing that we have to get on our knees to pray. Pastor Jordan and I, we listened to this song a lot last time in 1990s. Okay, we sing it. And it's really about telling us about the true man. We get down on your knees to pray. A true Christ-like man is one who prays to the Father. A true Christ-like man is one who will pray for his family. A true Christ-like man is one who will get on his knees to pray with his family. Jesus loves God. Jesus also loves God's people. We know that. Jesus embraces children when his disciples keep them away. He dines with sinners and tax collectors when the priest avoided them. He accepted the adulteress at the well, the prostitute who washed his feet with her hair, the cowardly disciples who denied him and ran away, and the criminal on the cross. He did not condone their sin, but he forgave them and accepted them as his own, leading them as he would lead his disciples into the kingdom of God. Brothers, as Christ-like men, we too need to love God's people. Remember our God-given role to work and keep his creation? That involves leading God's creation towards the kingdom of God, and that includes the need for leadership in leading others towards Christ. Now, don't tell me that I am not a leader. No. We are all called to lead others. Be it to lead creation by working and keeping, caring for them. Be it to lead our family in the world towards Christ. In the Word of God towards Christ. And be it to lead others in the service of church ministries. Be it to lead others outside the church through our God-given roles as stewards and caretakers of creation. Be it to lead them and usher them to know Jesus. We as Christ-like men are called to lead God's people and God's creation. But remember, not an authoritative leadership of the world, but a servant leadership of Christ ministering in the world. Just as Christ led by getting down to serve others, let us Christ-like men get down to serve as Jesus did. To be a better man is to be a man of Christ. Not a man of the world, but of Christ in the world. So, what does it mean for us today? Youth, boys, how would you aspire to be a man today, one day? Cool, attractive, powerful, muscular, like K-pop stars? No, it's not just about good looking or popularity, but about caring for others around you. If you are a young adult and you're planning for your career one day, how? It's not about your self-ambition, but whatever job you choose is for the stewardship of God's creation. and to remember your family, your wife and children one day, more important than even your job progression. If you are a young parent, you just have a child, you want to be a good father, how? Be there for your children. Be there for your wife. Lead them to Christ. But if you are young ladies here looking for a life partner, how? One who is, whole man, or one who will fight on his knees in prayer. One who looks good and dashing and cool, or one who truly loves you and your future baby, willing to carry your baby and even change their diapers. The man of the world follows his own heart's desire, but that's self-centeredness. But the man in the world follows God and his God-given role to work, care, and lead God's creation. He also leads his family to Christ, just as Christ loves and leads the church to the Father. If this is too mouthful for you, simply, the world says men should follow their hearts, but the Bible says men should follow Christ. Come, let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you that you are the Heavenly Father, that we can be fathers also just like you, to our wives and to our children. We thank you, God, that you have granted us the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, who leads us to be who we are supposed to be. We remember the mandate that you have given for us to serve, to steward, to care for creation, and to bring creation back to you. We pray, O God, that we will be people and men of Christ who follow after our Lord Jesus in a way that we love others around us. It's no longer following after our own heart, but following after the roles that you have placed in our lives. May we humbly serve you, God, in servant leadership. And may you lead us, bless us, and guide us. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And in closing, we want to be reminded that God has sent Jesus to be the perfect example. Well, I just invite you to stand as we sing the closing song as response. To be men, to be Christ-like men, as we submit to God, we look to God to give us the purpose, because God is also the potter, we are the clay. So he can shape us and help us. No ears have heard the help me understand my purpose. ministers to minister.
Though I have sinned, no ear has heard the goodness that I have prepared for you, who wait on me to hear my voice. I am the potter and you are the clay.
Brothers, let's join together. Jesus, take me. Thank you, God, for helping us. We look to you. In Jesus' name, amen.